Morning, everybody. Who's been enjoying school holidays? A few people? Yeah, just one person. Man, sad. Any teachers on school holidays? A few? Oh, yeah, we got one. Awesome. You guys are nervous about showing the hands this morning. Today is our third and final week of Salt and Light. Who's been enjoying some of the stories of what God's doing in different places? So I've just found it really edifying hearing what people are up to, how God has mobilized and moved people into different places, locally and overseas. It continues today. So very soon I will be inviting up Morty. He's going to share a little bit about faith, mission, and Tear Fund. Just a reminder for young families that some of the videos in this sermon verbally reference some challenging topics. But before we move on to that, we're going to actually have a conversation with two of our own TBC family. It's nice to have Caleb and Marissa there enjoying the school holidays as well. So let's give them a warm welcome to the stage. So you've probably picked up that we've done a few interviews over the last few weeks, and it's been quite a good way to kind of understand people's hearts and how God is using people and self-reflect on how God is using you and maybe what God's asking of you for this season. So today it's Caleb and Marissa. Thanks for saying yes, kind of stepping out into the spotlight. A lot of people probably know you already. You guys feel like you're way distant. That feels so much better. Yeah. A lot of people probably know you guys already, so let's start by trying to get to know you a little bit more than maybe we already do. So key first question, does Caleb snore?
Luckily, not very much.
Not very much?
Only when I'm asleep.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. So young adults camp, you can bunk share with Caleb and you'll be okay, so that's good. If you were in Lake Taupo and someone suggested going for a midwinter swim, are you the kind of couple that would be like super hesitant or like super keen?
We might have different answers. I spent all of winter just trying to stay warm. So I think if I went in the water, I would never be warm again.
Okay, but not your vibe.
Yeah, I'd be keen.
You'd be keen? Really yeah, no hesitation. Have you done it?
I don't know if I've done Lake Taupo. I've done Lake Rotowiti.
That's pretty good. Me
and John White, I don't know if he's here, we swam out to a buoy and almost got ran over by a boat. And the guy got really angry at us, so that was a good time.
You're a little bit adventurous by the sound of things. Yeah, I'm glad you're still here. I'm glad you survived to come and talk with us. If you guys were to plan a holiday, and kind of just the two of you, and go, what would be like your epic holiday? What would you do?
We want to maybe renovate a retro caravan and then road trip around New Zealand. That would be fun, I reckon.
Awesome. So is this a dream?
Look, as long as we go past some beaches, I'm happy. I don't care, but yep.
Is this renovation like a shared project? Like,
I'm really excited and Caleb's getting on board.
Yeah. And how would you like to define retro caravan? Like, what's the picture of a retro caravan like?
The little ones with the cool colours on the side. Okay. That one.
Yeah. Mm. Awesome. Okay. You'll have to post some photos when it happens and let us know about it. So, during the week, what do you guys do for work? Like, are you working, and what are you up to?
I'm a primary school teacher. That's why I'm excited about the holidays.
I'm learning how to be a builder at this point.
Fantastic. So life is full during the week, I imagine. So how do you chill out and relax, you know, when you're not building and when you're not teaching?
When I can, I like to go surfing. It's okay. Probably my main chill out.
Yep.
I like baking and driving, walking.
Fantastic. Yeah. Got a favourite thing to bake?
Anything with chocolate.
Anything chocolate? I'm in with that. Yeah. Do you have a favourite surf break? Or is it just doesn't matter?
Wherever's closest, probably.
Yeah. Most accessible. Okay, that's good. Okay, changing topic just a little bit, like radically. So, how have you always had a faith in Jesus?
Yep, I grew up in a Christian home with Christian extended family on one side, and that was really exciting. So, I always knew of Jesus and then got to know Jesus.
Yep.
Yes. I too grew up in a Christian family, and I actually went to a Christian school. So, yeah, have been surrounded by faith from a very young age. and have sort of learnt what it looks like to own that for myself as I got older.
Yeah. In terms of looking what it looks like to own it as you got older, were there like moments or milestones, or was it more just a progressive awareness that, you know, Jesus is my Lord, not just my family's Lord? Like
all of the above?
Yeah.
For me, I think particularly growing up at a Christian school, and then in year 12 I moved to Mags and Albert Grammar, which is a much bigger school than the one I was at, and suddenly I was surrounded by all these different people with different perspectives and different worldviews, and no one to really hold me accountable in that space, I guess. And so for me, that was quite a defining time where I chose to own my faith for myself. And then I guess, from there going into uni and then into, I don't know, the workforce and all that, it's like these continued steps of having to choose, what do I believe, who do I follow? That's probably been the kind of, not like necessarily one big moment, but lots of little ones as I made that journey, yeah.
That's a super helpful reflection when you're in an environment that is challenging and then having to make those decisions, and each decision becomes a moment where you're choosing, I'm going to walk with Jesus, I'm going to be that light, and that contrast environment, am I going to be a light or am I going to, you know, merge with what's happening around me? It's very helpful. Thanks for sharing that. If someone was to ask either of you, why do you follow Jesus? Like, what would you say?
I think like we can all agree, no matter who you talk to, I don't think anyone's going to be like, yeah, this world's great, everything's going well. Like, I think we all have this underlying knowledge that the world needs some help, right? There's some issues. So I guess the question then is sort of, what do you believe about how to sort out those issues? Will they ever be sorted out? Is it just this is what it is? Is there a higher power? And so for me, I think we have this sort of mentality as humans that like we need to fix this problem. And most belief systems kind of go along those lines. It's like we need to, if there is a God, then we need to try and reach this God. We need to try and get to him. We need to live better. We need to make sacrifices to him, like whatever it looks like. But the crazy thing about Jesus and Christianity is that we don't believe that we need to try and reach God. We believe that he came and reached out to us. And for me, that's just huge. It's just like God has this upside down economy, and the more you learn about it, the more it blows your mind. So yeah, that's changing, has changed and is changing my life. That's probably something along the lines of what I'd say, I guess.
Yeah, awesome reflection. Yeah, you've thought about it clearly. That's great. Do you have a similar kind of perspective, or would you put different words to that? Like,
I think for me, my faith comes from more of the day to day. Like,
yep.
I believe in Jesus because of what he's done for me, and also the way that then changes my daily life. The peace that I have in knowing Jesus and that we're walking it together, and the joy for life, that's really exciting for me.
Yeah. So each day you are aware of the blessings, and the overflow of staying close to him, walking in his ways. Yeah, awesome. Yeah, that's fantastic. And you've already started to answer some of that. I was going to ask, you know, how does your faith actually affect your daily and your weekly life? You're talking from a perspective of the blessings that come from that. Does it affect your life in any other way during the week?
Yeah, I think also just being attentive to the Holy Spirit, like it's really exciting praying and just listening and then taking the most of those opportunities that come up during the day to have conversations with people about faith, or to take baking next door and have conversations, just to be following those promptings and then being part of the adventure of all that God's doing in the world. That's exciting.
I love that, part of the adventure. I'd so view it like that. The Lord's, following the Lord is the best adventure you can ever go on, because he loves you and he takes you into exciting relationships and places, and you can trust him with that. Yeah, it's great. Anything you want to add to that? I mean, how does it affect your daily, weekly life, you know, following Jesus, walking with him?
I think it's something I'm still learning, even though I've been a Christian, I guess, my whole life. I'm still figuring that out. For me at the moment, working on a building site, it's it's meant that some of the other guys, I've actually had the privilege to work with a lot of Christian guys so far, and we've actually had really good chats about faith as we're doing stuff, which is really cool. I think, like, for me, I'm still figuring out, I'm still learning, but, like, listening to a sermon on the way to work as opposed to listening to the morning rumble or something, that's a bit not so edifying. It sort of changes your perspective and shifts. Yeah, what's that verse? It's like, I've hidden your word in my heart so I might not sin against you. You know, like when you listen to these things and you sort of just do minute changes throughout the day, throughout what you're doing, going about your day, it tends to change how you see things and your beliefs, and those beliefs flow into thoughts and feelings and then actions, you know. And so I guess always listening to, for me, it looks like listening to podcasts and sermons and stuff like that, and taking time to read the Bible. And yeah, small things, I guess. But I'm learning.
Yeah, painting a good picture of that. And I appreciate your honesty. I know a lot of people can relate to that, the ongoing growing and learning and expanding with how does it affect your daily life. And both of you are talking about conversations and opportunities that come up. And if we think about it, hey, there's so many people and places and opportunities to actually plant seeds, to share about the Lord in different ways. So thanks for sharing that. Okay, change topic again. We know that you guys have been leading the Alpha course and super keen to hear how that went. So you've just finished off another term of Alpha. How did it go?
Good.
Many words.
it was really good. We had a different kind of group this time. Usually there's some people who are pretty new to faith or want to explore because they have not much of an understanding of it. In this case, we had, like, most people were from a home group here, and there were some others as well, but everyone was already committed Christians. And so it was actually a really interesting time, because rather than sort of going through the videos and having, like, a lot of questions about basic Christian ideas, we were delving a bit deeper, and I found it really helpful. Like, I'll be honest, even when people are brand new to Christianity and they're asking those questions, I still find that really helpful, because they often ask questions that, for me, as someone who's grown up in the faith, I haven't necessarily thought about. And then when someone asks that, you're like, oh yeah, like, what, you know, is that, I don't know, like, is that thing that happened, like, did that literally happen? Or, like, whatever the question might be, you suddenly have to really think about. But in this case, everyone was a lot more on the same page about the basics of Christian faith, so it meant that we were able to talk a bit deeper about some of the things, what it looks like to be living that out, you know. And it was a lot like just having another home group every week where we had a great dinner and got to watch a video. And it was really fun. I really enjoyed it. I hope everyone else did too. Yeah.
Brilliant. There's more food involved there as well. Again, TBC food culture represent. Questions. So the people are asking questions. What sort of questions are coming out, like, along the way in Alpha? And I can relate to what you're talking about. End of last year, I think it was, I got asked, how did Jesus come to Earth? And you think everybody knows that. But actually, depending on what you've been exposed to or not exposed to, affects what you do and don't know. And so those questions make you go, wow, okay. It is worth engaging with questions and having those conversations with people. So what sort of things come up in Alpha courses?
I think it can be anything. It can depend on why people are coming to the course. Maybe there's a specific focus that they want to find out more about, or it can be, like you were saying, we were delving into topics a bit deeper this time, so really specifics where people are like, what does that mean and how can we unpack that passage? But yeah, just whatever is sitting on people's hearts is usually what comes up. So there's kind of no common theme, I guess. We talk about healing and suffering and spiritual gifts. There's always questions about the key topics that we go through, but the questions, I think, fit with whoever's coming on the course that time.
Yeah, no, that's cool.
And it's a really safe space, which It was really exciting going through the course the first time with Mark and Tor and just realising that you sit, have a meal, and then you watch a video, and then come and have dessert or supper, and then it's just a space to just share whatever stood out to you or whatever questions. There's no kind of like right or wrong there, and I love that about the course.
Yeah, I love that, creating a safe space. I suppose that's what we're called to do in some respects as Christians, is to create safe places for people to explore, to engage, to be able to kind of discover who the Lord is. So, yeah, good reflection. Two more questions, then we're going to wrap it up. So the first is, like, how did God prepare you to be in this kind of place of facilitating Alpha? Like, I mean, that feels like a big task. How did you end up there? Like, did you feel totally out of your depth, or did you feel like the Lord had kind of prepared you beforehand, or...?
For me personally, I'd say the biggest thing that's prepared me was probably youth leading.
Okay.
As any youth leaders will know, youth are amazing, you guys are awesome, but you throw some real gnarly questions around and also have very short attention spans. So if you can lead a youth home group well, I feel like you're pretty much set up to lead any kind of group well, because they're going to throw stuff at you that you're not expecting. So yeah, Alpha, I feel like, has been kind of chill compared to that. It's a bit different. I feel like, yeah, sometimes people are, because they're there intentionally being like, I'm doing this to explore what I want to believe. There is definitely an element of going a little bit deeper sometimes. But the truth is, like, we don't have all the answers, you know, we're just followers of Jesus who are, you know, having dinner with you and watching a video. And so, like, these discussions, we're not here, like, pulling out some book. Well, we pull out the Bible, but, like, we're not pulling out, you know, our big theological commentaries and all that and being like, well, in this case, it's blah, blah. Like, we're just having a chat and being like, look, from our experience of following Jesus, this is what we've learned, and this is what says in the video. And sometimes we might have questions ourselves about what's in the video, and I think everyone who was there last on the last session actually laughed a little bit, because I got a bit confused by something that was in the video and was going over it, and they were all cracking up about how I'm supposed to be sort of leading it. But like, that's the truth, is like, we're all on this journey, we're all growing and discovering what it really means that Christ is God and he came and died for us to give us life, and what does all this look like? It's crazy. So it's just exploring that with us, and if you're interested, you should come along.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm appreciating just how you're reflecting, and we're on a journey together and creating that safe place and recognizing we all sometimes have questions, and yeah, that's great. That makes sense. I can relate. Final one, if anyone here is thinking about kind of volunteering their time for like ministry or mission in some way, what would you say to them? Because, you know, that for some people it's like, what? Why would you just go and do that, put yourself in a position like that, or give your time for free, or actually put yourself in a position where people can kind of challenge you or put pressure on you or whatever? Like, why would you do that? And if someone's thinking about it, like, should they? How do they process that?
I think starting with prayer first is a good one, because there's always lots of opportunities to get involved with, but I don't think we're actually called to do everything. Mm. And so actually being intentional and going, is this what God's calling me to at the moment in this season? And maybe getting some advice from others around that. But then if that's what God's calling you to, actually just step into that and to go with it. Like Mark and Tor gave us the opportunity. They're like, come along to the course. And we're just helping out once, and now we're here. And that's been really exciting. So we prayed about it and felt that it was the right thing, but now it's been such an adventure getting to do that. And so trusting God in the unknown and just taking that step is exciting.
I appreciate that wisdom, kind of seeking the Lord for what he wants and recognizing that we shouldn't be just doing everything. And just, but if he wants you to, then kind of moving into it, that's awesome. You guys keen to pray for us as a community before we move forward? Like, that'd be great. Yeah, awesome.
And I just need to say thank you too, because we had an awesome team. So we're standing up here as two of the Alpha team. Micah helped as well, and we had heaps of people in the kitchen and cooking and making suppers. So thanks everybody for being part of the Alpha team and all the people who prayed. So thank you. But let's pray together. Thank you, Father God, that you're with us. I thank you that we can know you. I thank you that you love us. And I just pray that as a community we would be growing in that we would seek you each day, that we would learn more of who you are and all that you're calling us to. Would you give us wisdom as we try to walk in step with your Spirit and Holy Spirit? I just really pray that you'd be speaking clearly to us, that we would know what you're saying and how we can partner with you. I thank you that we do get the privilege of partnering with you, that you are at work in the world and that we get to be involved in that. And so I just pray that you give us courage as we walk with you through that.
Yeah, dear Lord, I thank you that even though we try and reach you, you actually reached down to us and you died on that cross to bring us into relationship with the Father. And I just pray that your Holy Spirit would just be present here as we hear the words of Wayne. I pray that you'll be with him as he speaks. And yeah, just show us what we need to take away into this week. Show us what it looks like to be living out your life and your freedom that you offer us because of that death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys, and bless you. So it's now my pleasure to invite Wayne, aka Morty, to the stage. Come on up. Let's give him a warm welcome.
I don't want to lose my mustard cheese.
So I remember Wayne from years back. Wayne actually used to run BYM Easter Camp before Blue did, and he was always known as Morty. But his actual name is Wayne Mortensen, and he used to be a Baptist pastor down in Tauranga, and now the Lord has put him in Tear Fund. So we are blessed to have him here with us, sharing just some of his journey, but also the work of Tear Fund. Had a coffee with Wayne recently and was just so encouraged by what's happening there with Tear Fund, with how they're actually partnering with churches. And it's meeting the material needs and the spiritual needs of the marginalized. So it's a real blessing to hear from him. Wayne will be hanging out with us afterwards in the hall if you want to talk some more. So thank you for being here.
Thank
Cheers,
you.
Morty.
I haven't been called Morty for like 15 years.
I couldn't resist.
Hey, we're just going to start with a short video, hopefully. And then I will continue.
My faith centers me.
Drives me.
It's a way we work it out together.
Faith in the goodness of others.
Faith moves us.
Gives us hope.
And meaning.
Faith sustains us.
Faith in a better future.
Faith in action. Tear Fund started partnering with us in the aftermath of a terrible civil war. Everything was devastated, the land and the people. But together, we could see a future with the eyes of faith. Now, after 12 years, from nothing, we have a thriving dairy industry. We have many challenges ahead, but we have great hope.
Together with Tear Fund, we have freed 693 girls from sexual exploitation. Partnership is really important because we could not do it alone. That's why we need Tear Fund to support us and join us in this fight.
I was sponsored with Tear Fund through Compassion International. I joined when I was 7 years old. Growing up with my grandparents, they didn't have enough money for food or even school fees. However, through child sponsorship, I was able to go to school, and that opened doors and opportunities for me.
Tear Fund has partnered with people who desire to put their faith into action for more than 50 years. Together with our global partners and the local church, we focus on solutions to some of the world's biggest challenges and invest in children and families so they can flourish as God intends. We go where the need is greatest and speak up in the face of injustice. We've seen God transform and renew countless lives over the last 50 years. We're just getting started. We all play a part in showing love to our neighbors in need. Together, we can make a difference. Faith in action.
Well, kia ora, everyone. I've seen that I've seen that video many times and it still moves me. I just love the organisation that God has put me into. My name's Wayne Mortensen. You can call me Morty if you want to. I will answer to that. But it was an old identity, which I will go into as I speak. But thank you for having me come. It's an honour to be able to come and share with you with the work of Tear Fund. I understand you've had a few other organisations over the last 2 or 3 weeks as you've done your Salt and Light series. And you've had some amazing people come up and speak about their amazing work. I know you're not meant to say amazing in twice in one sentence, but it is amazing, amazing, amazing. Actually, kids, if you want to count how many times I say amazing over the next 30-odd minutes, I might be able to give you a prize. Okay, what have I got myself into? Right. This morning, I want to, first of all, thank your leadership team for, and I had a great coffee with Ben a few weeks ago, and brought up a few old memories as well. But I'd like to share with you a few stories of faith. As you've seen, an overview of Tear Fund and the various works that we do. Obviously, in 30 minutes, it's going to be impossible to go through all of that. But I'd like to share with you some stories that I pray will encourage you that God is alive and active and working in the areas of this world that have the greatest need, but more so how we can connect with those things and be a part of what God is doing. So I pray this morning that, as I always pray, God will build the house. As Psalm 127 says, unless the Lord builds the house, we labour in vain. And it is God's work. And God has created a fantastic organisation that I'm so proud to be a part of, along with many other organisations. And he's just doing some amazing things. Amazing. Right, that must be 3, 4. Oh my gosh. My two loves in life, besides hot chips and chocolate, Marissa, are the local church and mission, both locally and globally. They're my two loves for life. That's what I get up for. It's what God has planted very deeply into my heart, because I believe as we look outwardly at the world and our communities and further out to the world, and we begin to reach out, we find a purpose and a meaning and a significance for our lives that God has always intended us to have. It's part of our, I think, God DNA. The way he wants us to live our lives in him is we come into relationship with him. He blesses us so we can then go out and bless. And in doing that, the blessing comes back to us in that real meaningful, purposeful life. I love, Ben, what you said. I love adventures. I love adventures too, because I believe God has a life of adventure for all of us in all different ways as we just begin to submit to him and ask him to guide us. So those are my two loves in life. But before I go further, let me introduce to you a little bit about me. I'm married to lovely Raywin. We are coming up 39 years, and next year is the biggie, so off to Fiji we go. And both my children have left the nest, and although that's theory, right? We all know that's theory. The nest is never too far away, especially when money is required. However, my daughter is getting married in three months' time. We are going to have a wedding with a very Tongan influence. And Tevita, we love him dearly. He loves the Lord. My daughter loves the Lord. She became a social worker. And we are very excited that this year is going to be just a fantastic year. My children have grown up with us in mission. We, as Ben was saying, we were youth pastors, which is mission to the max. And we were family pastors in Tauranga, originally born in Avondale, so just down the road, or Avondale, when we're a bit dowdy about the place, we call it Avondale. Went to youth group there. Intense rivalry between the local youth groups back in the day, which included this youth group. Intense rivalry, almost ungodly. But it was lots of fun and really formative in my years because I met people who were living out their faith. So as I launch into a scripture and weave my story into that, I would just like to open up in prayer. I thank you, Lord, for this wonderful place and these people and these lives and the journeys for everyone here that you have for them. Thank you that life is adventurous as we submit ourselves to you. And I pray this morning, more than anything, that you will build your house, that you will do the work in our hearts that you want to do. It'll be all different for each one of us because, Lord, you are intensely interested in our individual journeys. So we just pray your word, your anointing upon the word, and you will speak to us as you will in Jesus' name. Amen. I love an amen, by the way. That's fantastic. Bring it on. I went to a Pentecostal church for a while, and, you know, that was the only way you knew that you were connecting, right? My scripture this morning is one that you know, I'm sure, where Jesus is asked again, because he's asked more than once, what is the kingdom of God like? You can imagine his followers following him around, and he's bringing a message that they hadn't heard before, a new kind of, and they're trying to figure it out. So more than once, Jesus is asking, what is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it, said Jesus. It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and put in his garden, and it grew, and it became a large tree, and the birds of the air nested in its branches. Now, he used other analogies as well to describe the kingdom of heaven, but I really love this one because, for many reasons, but it takes the smallest of the seeds. I don't know if you're familiar with what mustard seeds look like. You can actually buy them in Countdown. And I have a box down there, and there's about a million of them in it because they're so small. But this is what mustard seeds look like, right? Who saw it? Okay, your cleaner's going to have to find them. Last week when I did this, actually, I spoke in the church last week, some very clever person who was like right down the back went, "Oh!" As if I could throw that far. But you know, Jesus takes the smallest of seeds to illustrate the kingdom of God, that it can grow into the largest of trees. Now, I know that there are big mustard trees and there's little mustard trees, and I've had everything else pointed out to me over the weeks that I've been talking about this, but we're pretending it's a big mustard tree, right? Where the birds come and find shelter. In other words, when planted and nurtured in faith, when a seed is put into our heart, that God is putting into our heart, when planted, nurtured with faith, prayer, and obedience, it will grow into a large tree that will provide protection and nourishment. See, outward looking again, isn't it? It's not just about us, it's about what the tree does. And that is what the kingdom of God is like, says Jesus. I love it. Do you love it? Yeah. Amen. Right, I was ready for that. I kind of wondered when God created mustard trees that he intentionally went, I'm going to make it the smallest of seeds because one day, one day I'm going to be asked, and this is the illustration I'll give. You know, God knows everything, right? So I'm sure he'd figure that out. But I also wondered if the gardener, the farmer who planted that seed had any idea what colossal problem he was going to have in his back garden in the next few years. Anyway, that's just my quirkiness. The story speaks of hope and transformation, little seed to large tree. It speaks of small things becoming great works. Now, I love that because it means that God, who delights and takes what the world considers foolish to confound the wise. He uses the ordinary, user me's to do his work. So I'd like to tell you a couple of seed stories. One is my own, and one is the work of Tear Fund. So do your seatbelts up. We're going to go up and down with a little journey. I'm going to show you a couple of videos, and I'll invite you to get your tissues out before I show you the next one. But God's journey is emotional because God is God, and God is a God of emotions. I love that. But when I was a youth pastor, yeah, I was good looking once. And now my two bubbies. My church was very much involved in a mission in Vietnam. And at that time it was, well, it still is, it's a communist country. At that time there was a lot of aggression against the church because they saw it as a threat against the communism. Sort of like some countries still are today. And yet at the same time when there is oppression, God actually does a lot of work. And the underground church was growing. There were laws against meeting more than five people in a group. There were all these things that the government were trying to do to stop the church growing, yet the church was thriving. And there was a guy in our church who had a mission into these sort of countries. And he asked me and a group of other people if we would like to go up there on what was called a prayer mission. And I kind of thought, God's omnipresent. Why do I have to go there to pray? You know, can't he just pray from here, save all that money? But God obviously had a bigger picture in mind, and he was getting me there because he wanted to plant a seed into my heart that would change the direction of my life for the rest of my life. So I was in my late 20s, I think, at the time, or early 20s, I can't remember. It was a long time ago. And so I went. I had no money. I was a youth pastor, right? I had no money. They don't get paid much. I had two little kiddies at home, but I still felt that I was meant to do it. But most of all, my wife let me. She said yes. She felt that's what God was wanting to do. And we had no idea. I thought I was going for an 8-day prayer journey. But that was not quite what God had intended. And when I got there, I'd begun a journey that has never stopped. It's still part of my life today. You know, one of my favorite scriptures, and it was alluded to, I think, Ben, you were talking about the adventure of life, and I did. One of my favorite scriptures that I have walked through life with, and it's a promise, is this, and I want you to look at that, and I want you to claim that promise for yourself. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human mind has even imagined or conceived the things that God has for those who love him. It's true, isn't it? I just don't believe God calls us to live in a rut. God calls us to have a colorful life. And as we seek him and as we ask God to plant seeds of faith into our hearts, we don't know what sort of tree they're going to grow into. My tree took me to Vietnam. When I got there, I had no idea what I was going to see. I had never walked amongst poverty before. I'd never met people who were just literally more concerned about their next meal than anything else in life. My heart wasn't prepared, and it was broken, as you would expect. Who's been on the mission field and into these sort of... And when it's on the screen, you can turn it off. You know, you can switch it away. But when you're there, you're breathing it. And that's what God wanted to do in my life, because he wanted it to change my life for good. I wasn't prepared for what I saw as a result of that poverty. I wasn't prepared for the health issues I saw. Vietnam had come out of the war. There'd been Agent Orange sprayed all over the jungles, which little did anyone know caused deformities in children for generations to come, and even still in the rural areas. I wasn't prepared for what I was going to see with my own eyes with the health issues. Back then, as I said, it was a military nation, it was a communist nation, and of course, guess what we were doing? We took in suitcases full of Bibles translated into Vietnamese, which is what everyone seemed to do back then. It was like the big China thing. We were going to take Bibles to China. We took Bibles into Vietnam, and I kind of got to the airport and wished I didn't have them in my suitcase. But we got through, and we shared those Bibles with the Christians that we met, and that alone was worth going for. But I wasn't prepared for that journey that God was going to take. Poverty had really robbed these people of hope. They weren't able to dream. And I was a youth pastor, and I could still dream, even though I felt poor at the time. I met a pastor who was in the villages ministering, and he had just come out of jail, 18 months hard labor, for ministering in the villages. That was his crime. And where was he when I met him? Ministering in the villages. You know, these guys had a faith, a reality of faith that put me to shame, that they were prepared to put their lives on the line for the gospel. And as a result of that, the church was thriving and miracles were happening. And I spoke to people who told me of things they'd seen with their own eyes. God put me in this place and he said, I love these people as much as I love you. And I want you to love them as well. And that is the beginning of all mission, isn't it? Whether it's our youth ministries, whether it's our community ministries, whether it's global mission, it all starts with a love for the people. And to me, that's the best fertilizer for the seed that God plants in our hearts and there can be, is love for the people he's calling us to reach. Long story short, I went back. And I went back, and I went back, and I went back, and I met people over there who had put their lives on the line, that were taking children off the streets and literally saving their lives, but also saving them spiritually because they were teaching them about Jesus. And so I went back there. We began to sponsor children. So I began to ask these people, can we take their photos back and we can find people? And the seed began to grow into a tree. And that was our Vietnam tree. I still go up there and I still sponsor children. In fact, the little girl on the left in the little blue dress, cute, eh? Isn't she darling? She's actually a few years older than that now. But those people at the back besides me, they were all ex-youth group kids that were in my youth ministry when I first went. And so the tree grows and the branches grow out and the seeds drop and new trees grow. And that's God's kingdom. And we have to meet them in a mall because we can't meet them at their home because there's watches everywhere and there's all of that. But it's just been a beautiful story. But what I didn't realize at the time, of course, was that the story of meeting people who were using the churches in their communities to help these children is really a miniature Tear Fund. Because that's what Tear Fund does. It uses the churches and uses Christian partners in the communities that it works in to bring the gospel and to bring relief and aid and justice into the communities that God calls Tear Fund to work into. So that's my second story. And I want to tell you how Tear Fund started, because sometimes God plants seeds in our hearts that might grow trees that high. Sometimes he plants seeds in our heart where he's got far bigger plans for. And the story of Tear Fund is one of those stories. Here we go. I'm skipping two or three. Who's heard of George Hoffman? Two. Well done. You know, I asked that question, and it's very rarely that anyone puts their hands up. But George Hoffman was a vicar, and this is his story, in the UK. He didn't have a YouTube channel. He didn't have a podcast channel. He was nothing extraordinary. He was just an ordinary person. And he began to be very concerned for what he saw was happening in the world in some of these countries that were facing poverty. He also realized that if the church were to have a voice the church were to be effective, then they couldn't do it by themselves. They had to collaborate. Where there is unity, the Lord commands a blessing. And so God gave him this vision, the seed in his heart, to begin talking to other pastors and other churches to work together, because they knew as together they could reach places that church could not by itself. And so he began to collaborate the churches in his area, and it grew, and the tree grew, and the tree grew, and the tree grew. And his mission, in his own words, was, God has planted a vision in me to create or to birth an organization that could be the development arm of the church, to serve the church through collaboration. In fact, he called it the Evangelical Alliance Relief Fund, T-E-A, who knew that? T-E-A-R. Now, try saying that a few times, by the way, over and over again. I can't get past evangelical without my... So I'm really glad that he shortened it to Tear Fund. And that's where Tear Fund comes from. And I love the way that it did shorten to tear, because I believe we should be emotional about the injustice out there in the world, and we should have God's heart. So he created an organization called Tear Fund. I don't think he had any idea of what that seed was going to grow into, just as we don't when we initially obey what God's putting in our hearts. He had no idea how big it would become. But 60 years on, so what happened was, he started in the UK. Some pastors here in New Zealand heard about it. They began to do the same thing. And about 50 years ago, this year, they began Tear Fund New Zealand, and it has grown from there. The branches of this tree would be in four main areas, and I'll go through them really fast because I know that you're being very patient with me. The four areas are child development, offering children a hope more powerful than poverty, modern slavery, which is an evil in this world, that's trafficking, it's exploitation, working with partners, Christian partners in countries that are fighting against this. Farming and enterprise, which is a very popular one from New Zealand because we're such a farming country. Working with farmers to create sustainable, self-sustainable farms. And disaster and conflict. And, for example, we just had a Myanmar appeal with the awful earthquake, and we have partners that were able to go in there, which is a very difficult place to work in, obviously. So there are the four branches of Tear Fund. And from there, sub-branches have come out, but God has just begun to put those four areas onto the hearts of the work of Tear Fund and ask God's people and countries like us that can support them to be involved. I don't think George had any idea, but, you know, as I read before, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has in store. Personally, one area, and those are the countries that we're currently working in. So 50 countries. We are connected through our partner with 8,000 churches that are all in areas of poverty. And we have, I think, 50 other partners. So it's just a tree that's grown. But the area that, as I said, is the area that has closest to my heart is the area of child development, because everything we do affects children, doesn't it? Children are at the core of Tear Fund work. And I love the little saying, we offer children a hope that's more powerful than poverty. And when I came into Tear Fund, I knew I could sponsor children. I was already doing it with my work in Vietnam and still am. But I also didn't realise that the way that Tear Fund sponsors children through our partner Compassion is only through the local church in the countries that we work in. So, for example, they will take find a church and identify a church that is wanting to reach its community, and they will say, we want to help you and empower you financially and in other ways as well, in practical ways, to reach out to your communities And we will offer, we will bring a child sponsorship program into your community. So it only works through the churches, and so far 8,000 churches. Compassion started from a seed story and now reaches 2 million children around the world. With God's blessing and his hand on it, that's what it's become in 60 years, 2 million children around the world. In New Zealand, 10,000 children, 10,000 families are sponsored by people like you and me. 10,000 people are connected in areas and countries of poverty by families who think, I can bless because I am blessed. And they take on a child and they journey with that child. It's kind of like a pen pal in some ways, which children often talk to me about, where they will hear from them, they'll write to their children, but they know that they are not only impacting their immediate family, but they're impacting the churches that, those children are involved with. Every Saturday morning, those children go to a Saturday morning program where they learn about Jesus. I have spoken to more than one child, and this is one young guy here who lives in Mount Eden now, and he was a child in Nairobi in the slums who was sponsored and his seed was planted in his life. He's now a youth pastor serving our young people. Isn't that an amazing story? I take him into churches with me sometimes and we tell his story because he's right here. And God plants trees everywhere as we throw out the seeds. That's all he's asking us to do, is to throw out the seeds. It warms my heart, and I'm passionate about it. I hope it's warming your heart. We call it faith in action. And the second part of that verse, it grew and it became a large tree, and the birds of the air nested in its branches. I want to show you another video as I come to a close. And this is a story of a beautiful young lady in the Philippines who, like Waweru, was sponsored. And it's a little story of her tree and how the seed that was planted in her heart grew into a tree. So are we all good to go? Thank you so much for your help, guys. Here we are. Get your hankies out, put your seatbelts on.
I grew up in this place. I saw these things happen in my community. At the very young age, I am exposed to drug selling, drug abuse, and drug running.
Lorega is a ring in the air. If you say Lorega, then people will always associate you with drug addiction, with prostitution. Child protection is really one of the most important things that we, partners of compassion, can do to help the child.
I asked them, what are the dreams? And most of the mother cried. So I changed the question and I said, okay, if you don't have a dream for yourself, what is your dream for your children? And they cried more. And after talking to more than 200 parents, I can't sleep. I can't sleep because imagining and thinking about, I will be ministering to this place where people don't have really a dreams.
When I was young, I don't have any hope. But then when I came to know the Lord, it makes something new. He molded me into a beautiful one because of the hope that he gave me.
It's really my dream that they can really be released from poverty in all aspects and can be an influencer in their community.
I am now a teacher, so now I can teach more students. I can teach more children, mothers, because God teach me. And I want to use my life as a living testimony to those people who don't know Christ yet.
Lorega now is totally different. Before, even taxi driver will not come inside Lorega, shooting every day. But Lorega now is totally open with the gospel.
I am here standing in front of you because I am one of those children. My sponsor was from the US. Through her, I am now a graduate student of the Bible school.
I always dream with our children because their lives have been giving hope in the community. When other children will see them, it inspires others.
Compassion International, the staff, the caseworker, plays a major role to to instill into the child that there is hope in spite of poverty. And Lorega now is a better place than before.
I can say that God is my redeemer. God is my cornerstone. And He has done beautiful things in my life.
It's the first time anyone's ever clapped. It's moving, eh? I still well up when I see that video, because it's the reality of what God can do as He plants seeds in children's lives, and He uses us as seed sowers. And of course, God has a different journey for every one of us, but I know in my life, and as in my children have grown up, as we have got involved with people like Angelica, and we've seen the reality of the lives that they live in and the reality of what we can do to lift them out of that and to give them a hope. I feel like I'm not selling anything. I'm asking people to buy hope for them on their behalf that they can't buy themselves. And so as I close, I'd just like to pray, and I want to show you a video of some works that TFN does around the world with this beautiful song that's come out of my own church, and it's a blessing to you. I go to a church in the city called St. Augustine's, and we've got some beautiful songwriters in there, and they record and they have that call, their seed is to be a tree to the churches that around them. And we will have some information out there as you have your cups of tea. We've got some children like Angelica or Waiweru. If that's the seed God is planting in your heart, please don't walk past us. We're not going to hard sell you. We're not going to stop you leaving until you sign up. But what we do is we just say, if there's a child that you would like to sponsor, take the profile, hang on to the profile, pray for that child. We'll follow up with an email. So we're not going to, you know, pull your credit cards out now or anything. It's a prayerful journey. It's something we need to pray about, because it is a journey. It's not just you're not just buying something. And we'll follow up, and if God has said no, that's fine. We'll release the child back into the pool for someone else to sponsor. But if so, I know that you will begin a one-on-one journey with a beautiful child like Angelica. And we've got them of all different ages, so if you feel like you'd like someone who's a teenager who's just got two or three more years in the program, that's great, or you might want someone your children's age or whatever. I won't say any more about that, but I would like to finish. I'd like to read a prayer that actually I went to a course yesterday that I was given, which I think is very appropriate. So we'll pull that slide off. I want to read a prayer to you instead, or you can leave it up. But I'd just love to read this prayer, and I'd ask you to pray it with me. And then we'll show the video. Holy Spirit, I yield willingly today to whatever work you call me to do, whatever seeds you are planting in my heart, the glamorous and the thankless, the adventurous and the monotonous, the scary or more of the same. Whatever you have for me in this season of life, I say, count me in, Lord. Wherever you are sending me in this season of life, I say, okay, let's go. However inadequate I feel in this seasons of life, I say, when I am weak, then I am strong. Thank you, Lord, for these wonderful people. Thank you for the seeds you plant in our hearts, and that the journeys that you take us on, all so different yet all so adventurous. And I just pray this morning that your spirit will do what your spirit wants to do. The Lord will build the house. And we do pray that, Lord, that your work will be encompassed with prayer by your faithful people. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, kia ora. If we just show the last video.
Jesus, you delight in showing mercy. You have shared a table with a thief. You embrace the orphan and you say, now follow me. I am fighting for the least of these. You have graced this world with your forgiveness.